My topic for this evening is being free in the moment, which is redundant because there's no other time to be free. These are the words that Buddha said as he was dying. O bhikkhus, monks, do not grieve. Even if I were to live in the world for as long as a kalpa, our coming together would have to end. You should know that all things in the world are impermanent. Coming together inevitably means parting. Do not be troubled, for this is the nature of life. Diligently practicing right effort, you must seek liberation immediately. Within the light of wisdom, destroy the darkness of ignorance. Nothing is secure. Everything in this life is precarious. Always wholeheartedly seek the way of liberation. All things in the world, whether moving or non-moving, are characterized by disappearance and instability. Stop now. Do not speak. Time is passing. I am about to cross over. This is my final teaching. So he knew that he was dying. He knew it was his last teaching. And this is what he wanted to say. Diligently practicing right effort, you must seek liberation immediately. The first time I read that, I think I'd been practicing for about 2.5 years. I had gone through the training and had started volunteering with the Zen Hospice Project. And this was one of their support meetings, this teaching. And that sentence jumped out at me and has been holding on to my ears ever since. And I talk about right effort a lot. I talked about it before the meditation. We all did. Right effort is noticing what makes us unhappy and what keeps us unhappy, what causes unhappiness to stop, what causes happiness to come into being, what makes it continue, and what causes it to end. When we understand the beginning and the endings of our peace of mind, then we're in the position to have control over our state of mind. So it sounds like it's something that we have to kind of work on maybe 20 minutes every day, and maybe in 10 years we'll have it down. But the second part of his exhortation was, you must seek liberation immediately. So he wasn't saying, schedule your 20 minutes of right effort every day, Monday through Sunday. But use that right effort to seek liberation when? Now. The only time you can, right now. So many years later, I was in prison. I was in Chowchilla, over there near Yosemite, the women's prison. There are two prisons across the road from each other. It's one system. And I had gone in to do 3 days of retreat practice. for the women who worked in the hospice in the prison. And I was working with another teacher that I didn't know well. And it was the first time that I had been into that prison. And even though I was there bringing the Dharma and the practice, which is calms you down and makes you wise, I realized that I had tension throughout my body. All of my muscles were a little contracted, and particularly my gut. My gut was just clenched tight. And I said, whoa, I'm suffering right now. And I stopped what I was doing, which was I was attempting to drag chairs around and set up a way that we could interact. And I just stopped and really paid attention to those muscles, starting with the gut, and bringing compassion to that suffering. Because fault was not an issue. Who cares how I got there? That's where I was right now. And if I hadn't stopped, I probably would have carried that feeling into whatever I said or did in that situation. And just stopping and being with my own suffering for a few moments was enough to make the body relax and the mind to relax, so that then I could be present. And I really enjoyed that day. I really enjoyed working with these really wonderful people whose lives had been ruined in a way. They were going to spend probably the rest of their lives in prison. And they were doing it, giving to the other women in the prison with them, particularly those who had terminal illnesses. And one of them said, you know, if you are here, you either let it turn you into a monster, or you work with it and it can turn you into an angel. And I had the privilege of spending that day with about 8 angels. And I was very glad that, you know, I did have this practice of my own that allowed me to address my own suffering and be fully present. And I want to compare this to Christmas morning, because how many Christmases I've had in family situations that were tense, or situations of friends coming together where there was conflict. Maybe it was under the rug, but it was there. You know, who was or wasn't invited to whatever get-together it was, and when was the last time you saw them and why. And the holidays, as much as they're about love and joy, can be fraught with moments where we are plunged into the depths of suffering. And how this works is not at all inexplicable. It feels like it at the time. One moment we're laughing and celebrating a holiday, and the next moment we want to kill. And the mystery is solved when we look at maybe the hundreds of hours we have spent telling ourselves how person X always does this. That's what she does every time we get together. It's the same thing. I've tried to work with her over and over and over and over and over. And, you know, and every time there's one of these instances, it's reinforced. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us, because we've got the same hamster wheels in our minds. And that hamster gets going, and it gets compacted, very tidy little landmine in there, all set to blow up the moment she does it again. And she probably will, because we're not wrong. You know, the person X probably does have a tendency to do this. But we've reinforced, set up the trap of our reaction. And it's there, it's just there. We're practically putting it under her feet as she walks. Boom. So, as we were talking a little earlier, how do we find freedom in the moment as the landmine is going off? Seek liberation immediately, right then, practicing right effort. So we grab on to whatever we can in that moment, no matter how intense it is, and recognize suffering, I'm suffering. That's what's going on. It's not that person X is doing A, B, C, D, whatever. The event is, I'm suffering. I'm going into anger, I'm going into grief, whatever. I'm going into a state where my mind is uneasy and my body is uncomfortable. And I don't want it to get any deeper. I want freedom right now. And a lot of the work is done just in recognizing that. Another revelatory moment for me was when I was driving one night and someone cut very sharply right in front of me on the freeway. And I really didn't have the space or the time to come to a kind of a quiet, you know, gentle stop. I had to slam on my brakes. I had to push that foot down with everything I had. And I caught my mind starting to say, that so-and-so, didn't he know he shouldn't have? It's his fault. He could have killed us both. The hamster wheel started going. And I noticed it. I noticed the thought pattern. I noticed the feeling in the body. And I recognized this is the causes and conditions of suffering right in this moment, and I don't have to go there. I don't have to stay with it. I can free myself from this right now. So I just stopped thinking those thoughts. It sounds so easy. It isn't. But if all we can do in that moment is to just notice that we've noticed that we're suffering, and we have compassion for ourselves, it'll turn. It will not become what it was well on its way to being. We have liberated the next moment, and the moment after that, etc. And we've done it now. And in the next moment, maybe we will stop the thoughts. That will be the job of the next moment. In each moment, we can kind of notice, am I serene or not? Is my body relaxed or not? Are my thoughts spinning or not? When we're meditating, we have a great opportunity to get familiar with the feeling of serenity. And it's very important, whenever it arises, to recognize it. Oh, I'm serene right now. The mind is relatively calm. The body is relaxed. This is serenity. And then as we go through each moment of life, we have a yardstick against which to tell how far away from serenity we are. So when we get into this habit of noticing whether or not we're serene, we start to notice what takes us away from serenity. And we get to learn about the mental patterns that are in process in that moment when we've noticed. And we begin to recognize them. This is the pattern that I have that leads me to anger. This is the pattern I have that leads me to self-pity or to a grief that may be lingering longer than it needs to. I'm not saying grief shouldn't be given its own timing, but habitual thinking can cause it to linger longer than it really needs to for healing to take place. I'm jumping around among the traditions of Buddhism. The Parinirvana Sutra is a Mahayana, or at least the version in which I encountered it, was from the Mahayana. And now I'm jumping over to Tibetan, which is a variety of that form. And I'm quoting Pema Chodron, "It's helpful to recognize uneasiness before it escalates." She says, Trungpa Rinpoche used to say that when something like anger arises, we need to regard it as not me. If we don't identify with it, that energy remains unfixed and free. So in the moment of noticing that we are not in serenity, that we're upset, it's very helpful to remember that the upset isn't personal to us. It sure feels like it. In fact, in that moment, it seems to define us. We say, I am angry, as if that's my whole being. Feels like it in that moment. It's anger. It's a state of mind. It's a condition of the body. It's not me. I am limitless awareness. I am deathless, but I can shrink into something as little as anger if I identify with it. If I say, that's my anger. My anger at X. So just to recognize I'm not happy here, and it's not me. Whatever is upsetting me, I don't have to incorporate it into my idea of myself. It's an upset. It's an interaction of an external event with internal habits, attitudes, condition. And I can make a choice not to go with it. I have another reading I want to share with you about this idea of not taking it personally and who we are in that moment of suffering. This is from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It says, remember the clear light, the pure white light from which everything in the universe comes, to which everything in the universe returns, the original nature of your own mind, the natural state of the universe unmanifest. Let go into the clear light. Trust it. Merge with it. It is your own true nature. It is home. The visions you experience exist within your own consciousness. The forms they take are determined by your past attachments, your past desires, your past fears, your past karma. These visions have no reality outside your consciousness. No matter how frightening some of them may seem, they cannot hurt you. Just watch them pass through your consciousness. They will all pass in time. No need to become involved with them. No need to become attracted to the beautiful visions. No need to be repulsed by the frightening ones. No need to be seduced or excited by the sexual ones. No need to be attached to them at all. Just let them pass. Just let them pass through your consciousness like clouds passing through an empty sky. Fundamentally, they have no more reality than this. Remember these teachings. Remember the clear light, the pure, bright, shining, white light of your own nature. It is deathless. If you can look into the visions, you can experience and recognize that they are composed of the same clear, pure, white light as everything else in the universe. No matter where or how far you wander, the light is only a split second, a half breath away. It is never too late to recognize the clear light. And in that moment, we're free.